Grace and peace to you from our God and Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This weekend, we end our month-long focus on the militant church. We began focusing on how the victory in Jesus Christ has already been won, but also at this time, the face of victory for the church looks a lot like suffering. Before, it looks like glory and triumph. And because of that truth, you are called to live a life of love, a life of caritas, as Vicar Pinsel preached about a few weeks ago, a life of love that will use you up for the glory of God because Jesus, your risen Lord, first emptied himself for you in a life of love for you. Knowing the victory is at hand, armed with love, you can now, as Pastor Judy preached last week, be on your guard because Christ has put his word in you. He has put his word in you and he guards you himself. You have the victory. You have the love. You have Christ guarding you. You have his word. You have Christ and all he has. And since you have Christ, all there is to do now is to wait. To pray for the end. All there is to do now is to pray for the end because the end of all things will be the beautiful, promised new beginning of all things. And that is our final focus for the militant church, praying for the end, because when you pray for the end, you are praying for Christ to return visibly, accompanied by angels, surrounded by the clouds of the glory of God, because he is God himself. When you pray for the end, you are praying for the return of the Son of Man, who will return not clothed in humility as he was in his first advent, nestled in his mother's arms, but will return with great power and with great glory at his second advent. The biblical authors can barely describe in human terms what this event will be like. When Christ returns and the end comes, and when they do describe this promised return, they do it in terms of magnificent power. Jesus himself uses cosmic imagery to get at what this will be like. The brilliance of the sun will be darkened. The moon will not shine, stars will fall, heavens will be shaken, boom, just like that. Christ will return, the end will come, and the new beginning will begin. We are to pray for this end to happen. We are to expect it, to long for it. We are to stay awake in prayer, focused in prayer, because Jesus will return. Now, I'm guessing many of you have prayed for the end of something. Praying for the shift at work to end so that maybe you could go hunting like this past week. Praying for your favorite football team to end a game with a win, or praying for an end to a forgettable season. Or maybe praying for the day to end so you can skip an evening full of difficult conversations. Praying for an end of legal proceedings that have enveloped your family and their attention for the last couple of years. Praying for the end of the many hoops you must go through to adopt a child. Praying for a difficult pregnancy to go to term and give birth and thus end the pain the mother has been enduring for 9 months. Praying for an end of your children or your spouse's return from the military, from their tour of duty, so they can come back home finally. Praying for an end of sickness, of cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's. And what's very difficult to do, changing your prayer from praying for healing for your sick friend or family member to praying for the end of their life to come and to come quickly because their pain is so great, their suffering unbearable. Praying for the Lord to mercifully take their life because you know that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and resurrection and healing waits his chosen people. That is a prayer of great faith, and many people have a hard time praying that prayer because we don't want this life to end. More often than not, we pray that things would continue and go on and go on and get better and progress, but end it will. The end will come to us all. As we look at our passage from Mark chapter 13, I must ask, how often do you pray for the end? for the end of this world as you know it. How often do you pray that Jesus would return in all of his magnificent power and glory? That's a scary prayer to pray, isn't it? That's a scary prayer to pray if you were attached to many things of this life, as the rich young man was in Mark chapter 10. That's a scary prayer to pray if you've got big, big plans for the future. I can imagine what some people might think. What if Jesus comes again and I never got a chance to go to Disney World? What if Jesus comes again and I never got a chance to go on that Alaskan cruise that we wanted to? What if Jesus comes again and I couldn't go on that boat ride down the Mississippi? What if Jesus comes again and I couldn't go on that Vegas vacation that I've been saving up for? What if Jesus comes again and I never get to do, and you can insert the blank there. You see, the problem here, as always, lies not with Jesus, but lies with us, with you and me, with the fallen nature we've inherited, with the power of sin still clinging to our necks. Because of sin, because of our desire to be in control and to stay in control of our self-chosen destiny, because of our desire to be our own gods, we might not be very compelled to pray for the end, to pray for Jesus to return with all of his magnificent and glorious power, surrounded by the heavenly host. To pray for the end, the prayer for Jesus to return, can be a scary prayer to pray for God's faithful people for a number of other reasons too. What happens if the end comes, Jesus returns as he promised, and someone I know and I love does not believe? What's going to happen to them? What happens if Jesus comes again, and even though it looks like on the surface I'm doing just fine, inside I'm full of doubts, I'm full of struggles, I'm full of fears, I'm full of insecurities, what will Jesus say to me then? What happens if Jesus comes again, and because I've been bored of church, because I've been sleeping through life, going through the motions, and I'm not ready, what will Jesus say to me then? Well, if you've asked yourself questions like that, thanks be to God, you're asking them. This is precisely why you need to have this prayer as a part of your arsenal of faith as you march as a member of the body in the church militant. This prayer for the end, this prayer for Jesus to return, is meant to wake you up, to prevent you from dozing off. The ongoing eager prayer for Jesus' return, it's like smelling salts placed right below your nostrils. It's like caffeine coursing through your veins as you're trying to shake off sleep from the night before. This prayer for the end, praying for Jesus' return, compels you to look at how you are living your life, how you're sharing your faith, how you're going to talk to that unbelieving friend or family member, because you don't want them to miss out on the beauty and the glory and the power and the magnificence of the world to come. And so you'll do whatever it takes to reach out to them. You'll do whatever it takes to keep your faith strong by receiving again and again the gifts of God through his liturgy. Because the power and the promise of Jesus Christ matters that much to you as you wait for his promised return. And as you pray for his return, as you pray for the end, the Holy Spirit, he will fill you with the assurance of his victory, of his love, of his protection, of his word. Now, praying for the end doesn't mean we give up on everything, sitting on our hands, burying our heads in the sand like an ostrich. No, because you know, because you've been promised by Christ himself, and God never lies. Because you've been promised by Christ himself that he will return and everything, and end everything, and usher in a new age, consummate a new creation full of redeemed people, resurrected bodies, that he will return and heal and restore and make the earth and cosmos even more beautiful and good than they were before Eden. This new age and this new creation cannot come unless Christ our Lord returns. It is because of this promise, it is because of this person, Jesus Christ, that we pray and we pray and we pray. And you know what? At the Lord's Supper in just a little while, you will get a foretaste of that new creation. In worship, you receive the end of the age gifts of God here and now, which one day will be poured out in full measure. It is because of Christ we pray for the end. It is because of the promises of God that we lift our eyes to heaven, knowing God's salvation, as Isaiah prophesied about, God's salvation is forever. It is because of our desire to be blameless before the presence of His glory and be filled with great joy, that we eagerly pray for Jesus to return. Because the master of the house, as Jesus said, will return. Will return for you His baptized, forgiven servants. Many of you have been praying this prayer, perhaps without even realizing it. You pray, "Thy kingdom come." What does this mean? The kingdom of God comes even without your prayer, but you pray this prayer in order that the kingdom of God may come unto you, that Christ may come unto you. And how is this done? Does this kingdom come? When your heavenly Father gives you His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace you believe His word, lead a godly life here, and receive an eternal life in the world to come. And so, people of God, pray. Pray for the end. Pray for Jesus' return. And as you pray, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.